Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
In 2013, two brutal murders left the city of Davis, California, paralyzed in fear.
The victims were an elderly couple. It was up close and personal.
I'm 48 Hours correspondent Erin Moriarty. I thought I had seen it all until I encountered the mastermind behind those murders.
I think the word is psychotic.
This is 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders. Follow and listen to 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good day. You are listening to a podcast. But this isn't just any podcast. Just any podcast couldn't do this. Or this. What the? This is the podcast. Starring the Ted Smith and Cobb. Ha-ha! The podcast starts. You better wear a helmet now.
All right, welcome everybody back to a brand new episode of the podcast. I'll be the host of this here podcast, the Ted Smith. Greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
Oh, beaming our satellites down to Austin, Texas. He goes by the name of Cobb. Cobb, what's going on?
Layoffs are the big story today, boys. All across the country, thousands of layoffs. But guess what? MCDP, Cobb, and Ted Smith are staying with you.
Right.
We're still here, damn it.
It would be very awkward if somebody got laid off from this podcast.
I was like, are you guys hanging out? It's like, yeah, man, it was a tough one.
Yeah, we had to make budget cuts, and our budget is zero. Our income is zero from this podcast, but we had to cut somebody.
Management, bro.
And the man coming in from the desert, Matt Cobbett, the producer, MCTP. What's up, Matt?
Well, at least one third of this podcast is very high right now, so we're going to have a good time.
We should let people guess who it is. All right, let's start with, I just wanted to give a big thanks to my buddy Eddie Blackburn, WFC, Emerald Queen Casino. Thanks to them, too. I was down there Saturday night for the fights. Unfortunately, our guy Patrick Benson lost. God, there was some blood in there, boys. He caught that dude with a knee or an elbow. And, I mean, I was talking to him after the fights. He ended up getting tapped out. But I was talking to him after the fights, and he's like, yeah, wasn't too sure about that knee. He goes, but I had that guy pressed up against the cage. He said he could hear the blood squirting out.
I was like, oh god,
I was like, dude, does that throw you off at all when the guy's blood's all over? He's like, yeah, dude, it's a little like, he's like, I could hear it, like his heartbeat like pumping. I'm like, oh man.
It goes in your eye.
Yeah, right. But great night of fights. And Eddie, you know, he's the matchmaker there. He put together some awesome fights. Saw a dude get dropped by a knee. I think it might have hit his liver. Just a body shot knee dropped him. There was a couple heavyweights in there. And, like, the one heavyweight, like, obviously he's in shape, but he just didn't look as in shape as the other guy. The other guy was kind of toying with him, dancing around. Big boy caught him with one straight right hand. Fight over.
Whew.
Dude, yeah. That's the thing about the big dogs, man. They always have that knockout power.
They do, just massive heavy hands. It's kind of funny too. The guy that beat Benson afterwards, and he looked straight up. He was from Portland. He was talking mad shit. So afterwards, everybody's having a couple beers. Like, man, I don't know if that guy needed to talk that much crap. And I just look at him, I go, hey, you beat the champ. You're the champ. You get to talk shit. Like, that's just the way the fight game works. Like, it's not my style, but hey, who's gonna tell him no?
Them's the rules, dude. He's the king of the mountain.
Yeah. Also, saw my guy Fire Chicken down there from the scrapyard. I don't know, boys. Talking to him, Mutual Combat. I was talking to some people. Might be scrapping season for your boy come
Ted,
spring or
no.
summer.
Dude, are you serious? Ted, do not do this. How old are you? 45?
I'll be 45 in December.
Ted, dude. Oh my God, man. When we're getting it all back. All right, I'll say this. What a transition you've had. I keep saying that you're in the zone, but from July to now you're barking down the door of the scrapyard. Like, what the hell happened, dude? We were having some much different conversations in June.
Oh, yeah. We've been on the uptick since, like, May, June. And then, I don't know, man. I was getting fired up. And then everybody's like, I mean, I know you fought before. And I'm like, yeah. And they're like, maybe it's time to test it out again. And I'm like, all right. And then the one guy from the casino, I like him. He's like, I'd do it with you. And I'm like, no shit, huh? Yeah, we could do this. And he's like, yeah, man. It's like, all right. And then another guy I know, third degree black belt, he hit me up today, Aaron Papa, and he's like, hey, dude, if you want to get back into training, I got you covered. And I'm like, oh, man, maybe it's time.
You got this, Ted.
I'm just gonna ask you straight up, okay, on behalf of everyone who listens. I'm just going to ask, are you taking testosterone?
No, I am not.
Are you on cocaine because you are out of your mind? At 45 of you are jumping in. Not only, dude, you're not talking about boxing like you did before. You're talking about an unsanctioned mutual combat cage fight in a man's backyard.
Well, if I did the scrap,
the medical responses to the scrapyard.
They have a team there. If I did the scrapyard.
They have a team. Medical team. Oh my there. God, dude. Does that team have a fucking doctor on it, Ted? Because I doubt that very much.
I'm just saying it would
have
be
a
just
team, dude.
Yeah, oh it would God. Be just boxing if I was in the scrapyard. But I don't know. Maybe it's time I zoned in on my jiu-jitsu a little bit.
I literally don't even know how to respond to this, Ted. 45 years, bro. You know what? I'll say this. I'll highlight the positive, which is what a glow up from July 1st till now. Okay, what an incredible, perhaps the greatest run any of us have ever seen on this podcast. Going from where you were to maybe I should take a run at training with a black belt and going in a backyard cage fight is, you got balls, dude. I'll give you that right now. So, dude, what if so many. Oh my God. Okay. You know what?
They're two,
your life, bro.
2 minute rounds.
Dude, two minutes is an eternity in a fight.
That's
forever.
I did it once in, you know, 07 for a while. It's been years. But, yeah, I don't know. We were talking about it, and it's like,
Ted, it's been decades.
Yeah. Well, it's going to take a few months to get into that kind of shape again. But
oh, my God.
I don't know, man. And then those guys just send messages like, start training. You want to train? I'll train you. And they're like pumped. I was getting all hyped up, dude. Maybe I shouldn't have been hanging out at the center bar till last call.
Ted, you got this.
If Thank he was you, eating Matt. A hot dog a day for $1,000, he wouldn't even consider this. He'd just be living large on an island somewhere, a bunch of baddies around. Jesus, Ted. Honestly, I'll give this. The scrapyard is cool as hell. Those are some
it's
great
awesome.
YouTube videos.
Yeah, yeah. They have a commentary booth and stuff. So, like, I just want to get, I'll be honest
and
with you.
And a team.
Yeah. I just missed, like, going down to Emerald Queen Casino and seeing all the refs and all the guys from the different camps. I was like, God damn, I miss these dudes. And then it's just like, I don't want to be the only guy that doesn't train.
I was kind of with
that
you,
South
Cobb.
Crew is cool.
When Sorry, you were like, oh, don't do it. And Ted was just like, I'm going to get into the scrapyard. But then as soon as you said you'd be training properly, Ted, I'm 100% behind this.
Yeah.
Triple black belt.
Third degree black belt wants to train you one-on-one. You take that training.
How can you turn that down?
This is without a doubt the dumbest plan you two have ever had on this podcast. And it's not even close. Ted, think about just getting punched in the face or kneed in the face by a grown man. That's not a boxing glove from your friend, dude. And also, like, you drop, then what happens? You're just laying in the mud in a man's backyard. Like, the team is going to...
There's turf in there.
It's going to be training. He'll know these
and
things.
It would just be boxing for this. I just got to sharpen my ground skills for my personal use.
The scrapyard. You know what, Ted? you haven't steered yourself wrong in the last 2 months. You wanna go into a smoker in a backyard? You have my blessing.
Oh, you're gonna be there.
Yeah, oh, dude, I'll be cage side.
Yeah, there's gonna be a special edition of the podcast as you guys commentate the fight.
Oh, yes. Oh God, you really got a hold of that one.
Yeah, we're not even calling it. It's a scrap. Scrapping season.
Oh my God, dude, this is, I mean, wow.
Well, I mean, here's my thought process on this. It's going to be a long, cold, dark winter. I spend it a lot of days in a gym, sweating, getting ready. Then springtime, scrapping season.
What the hell do you think the other guy's doing all winter? Just sitting around? Well, is it a basement, a cold basement lifting too, bro? You think they don't have weights in Portland? Come on. Dude. I love you. I want to come and just punch you in the face 30% clip and just have another conversation because everyone has a plan until they get punched in the face.
Exactly. Well, that's kind of how I got into this too, because I was referencing my fight and Drunken Idiots, and I always say to them, when's the last time you've been punched in the face? And they're like, you're right, dude. Hey, when's the last time you've been punched in the face? I was like, it's been a minute. They're like, you know. And he does all the guy does all the, he's a nice dude. I've known him for years. He does all the social media for Emerald Queens. He's like, oh, we could make a whole thing about this.
Ooh.
Yeah. I'm like, you're damn right we could.
Oh my God.
Got to.
Right? Also, I'll tell you what though. Saturday, you know, first of all, your boy still makes poor mistakes, not getting the scraps. So it's Saturday. It's one of those days you hate. I mean, sideways rain, this and that. I drove to Federal Way in sweatpants and a hoodie, realized I didn't have my bag. I do have to get into the cage and say something. So make a U-turn in Federal Way, drive back to North Seattle, grab my stuff, check into the hotel, put on my button up. They got a steakhouse and like bar on the roof. Beautiful. Had some steak bites, whiskey ginger. Hit the showroom, start talking to people, and just also, I got to say this. There was a ex-UFC fighter there, right? And his girlfriend or wife, I don't know if it's either, but she is Brazilian. And you know those like short maxi dresses that are like skin tight? Like the elevator doors open, and she's just right there in heels. And those puppies are at eye length. I mean, I didn't know to stare up at the ceiling or look down at the ground. Because also, the guy's a fighter. He's giant. He's standing next to her. But I mean, it was hard not to be like, God damn.
Just straight react.
Right? I had to like, chill out.
Act cool.
But yeah, went up to the steakhouse, which was quite lovely. And then, yeah, went down there. Dude, the announcer they had for this, the in-cage guy, was awesome. He was dropping F-bombs. I told him afterwards, I was like, you're kind of crazy, and I like it. Like, it was just full of energy. I mean, the room was pumped. Like, one fight was getting a little slow, and he just would pop on his mic and be like, let's go, Emerald Queen Casino. Fire it up. I was like, I'm saying,
nice.
You're right. Like, you could hear it in my voice right now. Like, the tea, everything's still pumping through me. It was awesome.
Dude, your tea is at max levels. I can tell just by that mustache, first of all. And second, with that announcer, I feel like it's the same reason I like college football. It's like he hasn't made it fully in the announcing game. That's why he's there. So he brings that extra energy that maybe a professional wouldn't, you know? Some professionals just clock in after a while, and he's like, no, bringing it. That's why I like college football. I feel like I can hear what you're saying. Like, I would definitely appreciate that.
Yeah. When he dropped that line, I was like, yeah, like, let's go. Go ahead.
Oh, I didn't want to interrupt except to say real quick, for people listening at home who don't know anything about the scrapyard, let me just read you a couple of YouTube subject lines. When they throw this hard, someone's going to sleep. The scrapyard. The craziest fight in scrapyard history. Most bizarre and crazy backyard fight you'll ever see. The most epic and craziest backyard fight of all time. Scrapyard. Brawler takes on Wing Chun Master. Scrapyard. Just so you have an idea about... All right, Ted, I see being, you know, on... What do they call it? The canvas? And you get pumped up. I see it now. Let this be the dose of reality.
Right. I'm sitting on the cage. There's blood in the cage. The guys behind me are sending over whiskey gingers. I'm meeting people, taking pictures. I met a guy. He was like, "You got to meet my friend. He's your doppelganger." And I'm like, "All right, cool." I mean, just on it. It was nice. But, you know, just feeling like the Ted Smith again. And then, like, hey, you're hanging out with all those guys. They're talking about training. There might have been a small dust up in the bar afterwards, which I think is the worst area to have a fight in a bar when there's a bunch of fighters in there. Like, the whole thing was just wild. I just forgot how fun it is to watch people fight in person.
So the tea's flowing and you're making some decisions.
Right?
I like that.
Yeah. Now, I do have to talk about 2 weeks ago, I was back at Austin. Cobb, you'll appreciate this. Yesterday, I'm on the men's room. One of our subjects was the 10 places Americans want to move the most out of country. And I was like, huh, I didn't really think about moving out of country. And they were like, you think about moving inside the country? And I go, yeah. And Miles is like, where? And Thrill just goes, you're going to say Austin, aren't you? I'm like, yes.
And Miles, like, there are eight people down there that I told I was moving here.
Right. And Miles is like, well, you just go there on vacation. I'm like, you're right. And I go, but I've been down there all time of year. I've seen the horrible heat and humidity in the summer. Been down there in November, which was gorgeous. I go, man, I hate to be this guy because it sounds cliche, but it really is just the vibe in that city.
Yeah, the vibe is great and the women are here all year.
Yeah. I keep telling people, somehow when I show up in Austin, I don't know if it's because I'm out in the sun, like, you just get better looking.
Dude, you get so much inbound in Austin. It's actually tough to believe.
Yeah, it's unreal.
I don't know. I don't even understand that. Like, it's sort of a phenomenon. But yeah, for some, I mean, what would you say that is relative to your normal inbound? 300% increase? More?
Oh, something.
Yeah, it's insane.
Yeah. Right. So we go down to Austin for the F1 race, which, man, Friday night, we never even made it to the track because that was that epic Mariners game that went like 15 innings and ends in a grand slam. So we're in East Austin. I mean, we had that whole bar cheering for us and stuff. I was shocked. We must have been there. We were in there for 6.5-7 hours. Right. Oh, and Matt, it's me, the mayor, Nick, and George.
Woo!
So, like, yeah, right. The boys were on it. And even when we left, we were like, damn, I'm surprised they didn't, like, finally ask us to leave or cut us off. And it was like, we were fine. But then as soon as we walked out of that bar, it was like, oh, man, we have been sitting in there eating tacos and bullshitting for hours. Yeah. So
it's like when you walk out of a Vegas casino, you know?
Yeah, right? It's just startling. Now, Saturday, we get up early. We didn't take the shuttle. We took an Uber out to the track. So I just want to tell people this. I highly recommend going to an F1. If you have any interest, go to one in Austin. Vegas was cool, but watching the race there was more of an event, whereas Austin is a track. You can walk all around it, and walking, you will do. It's a nightmare, Cobb had told me, getting in and out of there. Like, the infrastructure of the roads just isn't there. And then the Ubers drop you off on, like, the backside of the track. So, I mean, and that Saturday was warm, Matt. It was, like, 95 degrees.
Ooh.
And, like, we're walking in there. Yeah, I thought we might lose the mayor for a little bit. I was just like, me and Nick are just up front. I was like, we just got to keep walking. We got to get out of the sun. Get in there. Get to our seats to see the qualifying race or the sprint race. And the mayor, of course, is like, so we had good seats, right? We're in the grandstand. And there's we have the Velocity Lounge, which has air conditioning. So he's like, I'm just going to sit in here. I don't care about the sprint race. He was right. We go in there and watch like two laps, and then the rest of it was all caution. I was like, God damn it. He was right again. But then it was just unreal. We go in the Velocity Lounge. Somehow the mayor's made friends with a bunch of Scottish people that live in Austin now, but go to the race every year, which, as Cobb heard, as I told him Saturday night, they very much are encouraging us to say cunt more, which we did on the, we tried to get it going on the podcast. The mayor's in line. I bounce over and I go, hey, man, I'll stand here with you. By the way, the Scottish people are saying we should say cunt more. And like, I forgot that I wasn't with the Scottish people. Like, everybody's looking at me like I'm a psycho. I'm like, yeah, well, So then we walk around a little bit by turn one, and I think Cobb was sick of hearing about it. Matt, we found the Heineken party deck, which was live. Oh. The DJ is up there just playing banger after banger. I mean, whatever you want. Like, you like a Don Dollar song? He played it. Summit, Tiesto, Diplo. And, like, I can't explain it to you. He had this deck rocking, right? There was, like, the good-looking pretty people dancing. There was, like, dudes, like, just in, like, black T-shirts, like, dancing the whole time. Like, again, just a total vibe. And it was shady, and there was wind coming through there. So it was like, all right, this is good. And then also, look, there's a lot of issues you can have with certain states. In Texas, like, some things I'm not sure about, like, their own power grid and this and that. But also, people in Texas just don't care as much. Like, the bar had, like, the little, like, airport pourers on it, and the guy just got annoyed and just ripped it off and just started free pouring. Or, like, I went up to the beer guy, who is a college student with an Austin, Texas accent. You need a cold beer, partner? I was like, yeah, damn right I do. He's like, got you a cold one from the bottom. And then I'm like, is there, like, a rule you can only buy two? He's like, I don't care how many you buy, partner. And I'm like, all right, I'll take four, and I'll be back.
Dude, that's so on brand. That's what I always say is Austin rounds in your favor. It's like just little things like that. It's like, I grabbed you one from the bottom. It's like, yes. Like, it doesn't make that much of a difference, but just like it rounds that extra 35 cents your way, you know?
Yeah. And I'm not, look, he could have been lying, but with that accent and everything, I was just like, awesome. And he's just wearing a white T-shirt that has the prices on it.
That feels farcical. I mean, I believe you, but like, that's so ridiculous, dude.
Right?
He just, oh my God.
It was awesome. Right. So then we were at the Heineken party deck, but then obviously when qualifying starts, they got it. Like, they shut the DJ down. He was like, give me one more. And the manager's like, no, man. Like, look, I was there for the race. I would have stayed in that party deck with him playing songs. But then we get back to our seats, and then it's funny. The Scottish people, they're a little bit older than I am. They're probably mid-50s. And every time we see the three wives going up and down to get drinks, we're just like, trouble, trouble. And they're like, ah, fuck off, you c***s. It was so much fun. Now, here's a little bit of the bad part. The shuttle system works. They are charter buses with air conditioning. But you got to walk a while to get to them. And then traffic doesn't help. I mean, I think it still took us like 90 minutes. So the mayor's not having this. He's not happy. And I was like, ooh, I think we might have broke him. And then, Cobb, you talked to him on the phone. Even you were like, ooh, he actually sounds unsure.
Yeah, he was struggling, which is pretty rare. I don't know what you guys did to that man, but he was broken when I talked to him.
Matt, the line of the weekend might have been, we're in this Uber, it's Friday, and you're going by this like farmland and stuff, and there's like a junkyard. And there's like this backhoe doing stuff. You know the mayor. What's this guy doing? Is he just showing off because he has that? And you just hear George from the back go, that's called work, Joe. Right. George had a couple good lines when Joe was freaking out on the bus. I just hear him go, what, are you never taking public transportation?
Probably not.
Yeah, go home, change, get over to Cobb's place, meet some awesome people, just hanging out on the deck. Let's say the mayor did look good. That shirt was awesome. And then what was there? Six of us in the moke?
Yeah, we were running deep.
Yeah. Six in the moke, which, Cobb, you got to describe the moke. It's an electric smaller Jeep.
It's well, the original idea was like, you know, when you go on a boat with somebody, you're kind of trapped on that boat. So you sit and like have conversations with those people and whatever. But when you're in a car, like you kind of just use it to go from place to place. And so the idea is we wanted a land boat. So we wanted like a hangout where you drive around town, but you're like, the hangout is the ride, not going to something else. So we kind of got some inspiration from Burning Man art cars. And we bought a Moke, M-O-K-E, which is like an electric mini Jeep. It's kind of like a little bit larger than a golf cart, maybe. And we just use it around in downtown Austin. If you see us, say hi. But yeah, I think that's a fair description. What do you think, Ted?
Yeah, totally. But it's funny because, you know, people would know George, the Black Republican, and Nick, like they were both in the Marine Corps. So it's like wide open and we are packed in there. George is hanging on the back. I just hear one of them go like, "I feel like we're going on a raid."
I didn't hear that. That's awesome.
So like we went to one like fancy bar. I went against Cobb and agreed with this girl. I was like, I don't know if this is our vibe. It would have been fine. The mayor would have fit in. Like, so then we went over to East Austin. I'm already talking about moving. The first bouncer we meet, he's from Seattle. He's like, "Oh, dude, moved down 2 years ago. Love it." And it's just an old house. Just, I don't know. It's hard to describe. Just awesome.
Oh yeah, it's like a retro, like 80s themed old house. It's pretty cool. The place is a fun hang.
Yeah, it is. And then, what was he gonna say? Yeah, like they have a taco truck out there. My boy Nick was out there. I went out there to talk to him. Everybody came out. Saw a guy's wife kind of like fall over walking down the three stairs, just kind of slowly. And I just kind of laughed and was like, they're like, "Oh, sorry, like too much smoking or whatever." And I was like, "I don't care." And I look at the guy, I go, "You like to smoke?" And he's like, "Yeah, man, like I love to smoke." And I'm like, "Let's go outside the bar, man. I got you covered." Now, I don't know this guy. I'm just being nice. I've got edibles with me, but I know I'm not going to fly him home. So I'm like, "Here, take a couple of edibles. We're smoking." And I hear his buddy say his name, and his name's Ted. And I'm like, "Dude, my name's Ted." He's like, "No way, man." You know, it's like this Mexican dude. He's like, "For real, your name's Ted?" I'm like, "Yeah." He's like, "Ted, what's your middle name?" And I'm like, "Anthony." Now he's losing it. He's Ted Anthony. His last name starts with an S too. Like at this point, I think cops, you guys are just like, "What is going on?" And like I'm BSing with him. They love me. Right. One point they look over and I'm like, no, man, Ted, they're my people. They're cool, man." And then like he was showing me bullet wounds and he used to run those streets. Not anymore, but I'm good in those streets. Tell him I know Ted Anthony. Yeah, Matt,
Dude,
it was unreal.
it was. I mean, Matt, you've seen Ted out doing his work. Like, he can make a conversation out of just about anything. You know, he's like, "Is that a quarter? I used to have a quarter." Like, boom, instant friends, right? 10 minutes later. But this was something else. I mean, I was in the bar for like another 8 minutes, maybe before I came out, and you would have thought that those two had been best friends for the last 20 years. Ted just, I just, every time I look over, Ted's just dapping him up, dude. They're both smiling ear to ear. Like it was, Ted's always has aura, but in Austin, he has got like 3 to 5x aura. Like it's actually pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Texas Ted strikes again.
It really does, dude. I kind of like was just hyping him up before, and then this time when he got here, I'm like, yeah, dude, Texas Ted's a real thing.
It was also wild. We're in East Austin, and Cobb compliments my blue crab hat. And he's like, "Where'd you get that, man?" I go, "I don't know. Some brand called Duck Camp. I don't even know where they're from." And he's like, "Dude, they're like right down the end of the street." I was like,
Yeah, they're
"God
like th
damn
they were
it."
like we're, we were drinking at a house, and like 6 houses away is the Duck Camp house.
Whoa.
Right. Even Instagram's like, "Yeah, you like stuff from Texas."
And you love blue crab. It's like your Venn diagram, it's perfect.
Right. What's gonna say? Then yeah, Sunday we got up. I was
Throw a
I
chick from
tripped.
Kent on there and fold that Venn diagram. Sorry to derail
Right.
you.
Man, even the lines for the shuttle on race day. I have never waited in lines that long in my life, dude. Now, credit to them. They move along pretty quickly, but I mean, like, just walking to the end of this line, I was like, "Holy shit! Like, this is unbelievable."
You know what they say. Everything's bigger in Texas.
I mean, just unreal. And then, yeah, you get in there, and then race day, same thing. We walked around the whole track. We met Ricky Bobby. Matt, there's a guy who's a dead ringer for Ricky Bobby. That's his whole thing. He's a Ricky Bobby impersonator, and he just is in the like the Wonder Bread suit, and he just walks around. He doesn't break character and just takes pictures of people.
Wow.
I'm telling you, dude, it was a scene.
You'd be great at that. You
Yeah.
can hold character really good at that Halloween party.
Oh, it was so good, man. Right. Can't have two number ones. That makes 11. That makes sense. I was gonna say that
Was
giant
he like
flag.
there for fun or was he like hired?
I know. So the Scottish people were telling us the day before, they were like, "You gotta find him. He's here every year, and that's just like his shtick." I think he lives in Texas.
That's
But I
awesome.
looked him, because once we took the picture and he's like, make sure you follow me too. And I'm like, all right. So like, this is like a thing he does.
That's rad.
Dude, honestly, you guys should hire him for a party just to pop by for an hour. don't tell anybody. Just like, hey, Ricky Bobby's here.
Wait, so you're saying something about the flag?
All right. So the Circuit of the Americas, COTA, is famous for it's got this big uphill up into turn one, right? So that's the other thing. In Vegas, the cars didn't sound as loud. They were coming by full throttle, open up by us, right? And then they climb up this hill, and it's the biggest American flag you've ever seen. And we realized as we were walking up to it on Sunday morning that it's called Big Red Turn One. I was just like, this is amazing. They had a saloon. I don't know how big it was. I mean, there must have been literally 100 tables and chairs with bars and music. They have like specific DJ places. We, of course, went back to the Heineken deck to party. Then like the Texas band was there. Got a picture with them. I'm yelling, hook them. I mean, just unreal. And then that night was game one of the ALCS. So then we, you know, got home, linked back up. Friggin' the mayor made friends with these guys. So I guess they have money. They were flying in and out of the track. They're already at my spot, Little Woodrow's, when I get there. Like, we've changed. And the one guy was like, put it on my tab, but he's English. And I'm like, are you messing with me? And he's like, no, go ahead. And then, yeah, Cobb was there. Oh, Ricky was out. I mean, it was just live. Unfortunately, the Mariners got their ass beat that night. Or no, it was game six. That's right. But yeah, it was still pretty fun. And then, yeah, just the four of us got the best Euro I think I've ever had in my life. And then just sitting on the deck with Cobb and Nick and George, just the boys chopping it up, having fun. It you could hear it in my voice. It was so much fun.
That was a great night, man. I had so much fun, and just, I like keeping it like, I don't know. A low key night is pretty enjoyable. Little Woodrow's, the house, just, I don't know, the basics, you know, it was good.
Yeah. And then, Matt, you'll appreciate, I tried to bitch out, but Cobb kept me to my word. We got up the next morning before our flights, went to our buddy's new place, which is gorgeous, and then sat up on this, what, 60th floor deck and hot tubbed, sauna, cold tub.
Whew. I think I know which friend that is. That sounds, Matt, awesome.
Ted was like, just like he was with that guy he met. I watched him dap up my friend five times, being like, cold plunge in the morning, dude, 9 a.m. You and me, cold plunge. You and I are going to cold plunge tomorrow, 9 a.m. So I'm like, okay, what time you want me to pick you up? It's like 8:30. It's like, all right, everybody be ready at 8:30. And so, like, you know, the next morning comes, and Ted's just like, oh, I don't know. I got to do this and that. All like comes bubbling up. I'm like, Ted, I watched you dap that man five times. We're going to this cold plunge. It's like, by the third dap, we were in, dude.
That's not the first time drunk Ted has written checks that sober Ted's going to have to cash.
Well, that was exactly the line he used. Yeah. I was like, I feel like your mouth is writing checks your body can't cash. Yeah. Which I do all the time.
Right. Which, and you had the tacos from Veracruz, breakfast tacos, and like, hey, we ended up making it, still made our flights on time. Like, it worked. And trust me, that airport was packed. I mean, that's the busiest day of that airport that year.
Oh yeah, it's crazy how much traffic goes through the Austin airport the day after the race. It's truly insane.
Yeah, but just awesome time. And again, and it's funny because the Scots, I asked them, we were like, you come every year, has it gotten any better? And they're like, no. It's always a pain getting in and out of here. And we're like, all right. And they were like, you know, then we're like, we've been to Vegas. They're like, well, we're going to go to Vegas to check that out. They're all like oil people. They were like, go to Miami. It's a little easier getting in and out. It's like, all right. Yeah.
That makes sense.
Oh, we made a lot of plans. Like, going to Miami. We were talking about going to Spa, which is another
trip. How many daps? In Europe. How many daps for Miami?
I was running my mouth about the Indy 500. I think at one point on Saturday, your one neighbor had the Kentucky Derby shirt on. George just looks at me and goes, dude, you've committed us to two F1 races, the Indy 500 and the Kentucky Derby today.
Oh, we're in. You know, Ted, that's something I like about you. It's you're a rider. But yeah, isn't it funny? Like, you guys have probably both had this like experience. Like, sometimes you just get a third party perspective when you wake up and you're just like, what was I doing last night? Like, I was in demon mode. You know, like Ted's like, I dapped a guy about the Indianapolis 500. I've never even been to Indiana. Like, I double dapped a guy for like Miami F1. Like, I can't afford my Miami's $10,000 a ticket. I'm not going to Miami. And it's like, what was I doing? You know?
Also, sometimes you luck out too. I had planned on wearing my burnt orange shirt and my cowboy hat on Saturday. And then we get to the track and all the signs are like, it's Hatter Day. Don't forget to get your hat branded for $20. And I was like, I am so fucking happy I picked Saturday to wear this hat.
Hatterday, baby.
Matt, you'll appreciate this. I have this hat that says Coors Racing Team, which isn't a real thing, but I wore that on Sunday, right? So Cadillac next year will be in F1, right? Checo's going to drive for him. So there is other teams coming on, and people are like, Coors Racing, huh? And I was like, yep, we're coming on in we're coming on in 27. And people are like, Coors Racing's going to race in F1? I was like, yep. And we're the only team that gets breathalyzed before the race.
That's honestly a pretty good bet.
People were dying. They're like, oh, you're just, it was like, yeah, of course I'm full of ass. Like, there's no course racing team.
Dude, that's awesome. That's like, I never would have imagined you know, 10 years ago being someone who ended up as like an F1 fan. But like, I'm seeing it all come together. Like, you're kind of good in any crowd, but that works. It works. F1 Ted.
Yeah. Well, and COTA is just so cool because you could buy GA tickets that are like $200 or $300. Now you're going to be out in that Texas sun all day long, but it's a wide variety of people, right? Like, we were fancy boys in the grandstand. So, like, you know, kind of those kind of people. Oh, the guy that bought our extra ticket, he's sitting next to me and I'm like, oh yeah, you're our fifth now or whatever. And he's like, oh, these are your guys' tickets? And we're like, yeah. And he's like, oh, I paid a fortune for it. And we're kind of like, yeah, dude. Like, same. We sold it for face value. Like, it's like, what do you want us to say? And then
Well, and
generally,
by contrast, just since you're saying like there's a big difference, I saw so at Costco, you can get a 3-day ticket, including two concerts, for like $320, I want to say. And Ted, you know, we're talking, you guys were somewhere in the range of roughly 10 times that. That's how hot that sun is.
and we didn't see Garth Brooks sing one note.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, you got to keep in mind, it's hard to describe. There's an amphitheater inside of this racetrack. There's a roller coaster. Like, and it's, what is it, 3 miles long? So, like, when I say you're walking around the track, like, you're hoofing it around there.
Yeah, that thing's massive. And also, there is just no shade. Like, it's in the
Ugh,
middle of what
none.
was a farm field. So, you know, you're just getting rocked.
Yeah. And I usually wouldn't buy the same hat as one of our friends, but that thing is awesome.
Oh, that's so sick.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
Right. Nick bought it on Saturday. And then on Sunday, I come back. He goes, what hat you buy? I go, I bought the same one.
Honestly, that thing's gonna turn a lot of heads.
Yeah. And it's just subtle because it's just about the racetrack. So it's like, if you notice it, you notice it. And I'll tell you what, F1 prints money. You have never seen
Oof.
so many people in the gear. I mean, it's more than NFL. It's wild.
Do the teams get the gear money, or like, you know what I mean? Because like, people wear like a Ferrari jersey or like a, I don't know, like, I don't think Aston Martin is a team, McLaren
Aston
jersey.
Martin does,
Oh,
McLaren, they
okay.
both do. Yeah. And it's like kind of how you know, I don't know. People laugh at me. Is I like a driver named Pierre Gasly who races for Alpine, and then it's just a car, and he never finishes well. So people are like, "Who's your driver?" I'm like, "Ah, Pierre Gasly." And people are like, "You don't hear a lot of Pierre Gasly fans." And I'm like, "Yeah, I really thought if he had stayed with this team, he was really going to make it. But he switched teams, and now he's in a really shitty car. Like, he's a good driver, but that car sucks." all right. We should take a break here. But God damn it, it was fun. Yeah, let's take a break here. We'll come back with some emails. What's Matt in the cop topic?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
In 2013, two brutal murders left the city of Davis, California, paralyzed in fear.
The victims were an elderly couple. It was up close and personal.
I'm 48 Hours correspondent Erin Moriarty. I thought I had seen it all until I encountered the mastermind behind those murders.
I think the word is psychotic.
This is 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders. Follow and listen to 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, everybody. And as always, thanks to our sponsors. If things get stinky, call Pinkies. And if you ever get hurt in an accident or whatever, please contact our friends at the Advocates. All right. Mr. Cobb, do we have any emails?
And if you haven't been hurt yet and want to be, sort it out in the scrapyard.
Right. Time to find out if you're a real man.
Are you man enough? Big and bad enough? All right, what do we got here? Quiet Ideas. Hi, guys. Been listening to the podcast for a little over a year now, and I'm honestly mad it took me this long to tune in, especially since I've been a Men's Room listener for the full 20-year run. Obviously, I love Ted and was craving more content. And Cobb and Matt, you've been an amazing to listen to as well. I was listening to a recent episode about everyone's vacations and the Kauai trip. Turns out I actually got married the same day Ted was running with Diplo. While Ted was living and sweating it up, I was in Index, Washington, hiking to the spot where my husband and I eloped. This December, we're headed to Kauai for our honeymoon and would love any recommendations you've got. We already have snorkeling, scuba diving, and a boat ride on the itinerary, but we'd love to hear about any local gems, must-try eats, or awesome hikes to check out. Thank you in advance, and LARPON. Attached to the photo of our elopement if you want to check it out. Wow. That is a beautiful photo.
Dude, I like Index. I've gotten a little A-frame up there before.
Wow. Okay. Kylie, thank you for the email. You're very attractive.
I was wondering, like, I was like, it's a beautiful place. And like, okay.
I was kind of trying to sort through the name and what I, like what I was seeing. Anyway.
The Beach House is a great restaurant.
I was going to say, oh.
The Beach House in
Poison. Oh, yeah, for Kauai. You know, one of my, I like just the whole town of Hanalei. Just the vibe up there is really nice. I mean, Mark Zuckerberg just bought like three giant estates there because it's, you know, it feels so good in the area. And then the other one I would say is Rainbow Joe's, and that's just because it's a friend of mine. He was an electrician up in Bellingham, and he decided he was just done with Bellingham and wanted to go open a coffee shop with his wife. They moved there, got married, and I think they've been doing it for like 10 years now or so. Pretty cool. So anyway, shout out Rainbow Joe's on Kauai.
The shave ice in Hanalei is next level. I can't remember the name of the specific place that I went to. We both have hats from there, but neither one of them says the name of the place. But it's like right when you go into town on the right side, like the first one. And the Beach House in Poipu is just like a great spot for a nice dinner with just like epic views. Try to get it around sunset. Because it just like faces west. And yeah, everything else you got on there sounds good. And then, yeah, Hanalei in general was just a real highlight this last time. I love that little town. I love going to the bay and, you know, getting in the water there. It's just calm and like there's these beautiful mountains and then this like amazing beach within the same view. It's just, yeah, I could spend all day in Hanalei, no problem.
You know what? I'm no daps, but I'm gonna go to Hawaii soon.
I like that.
Add it to the list.
I'm in. That dog in him.
Right. Add it to the list. Apparently, I just hate money now.
That dog in him. Wait, does the scrap here do cash prize?
Well, no. Then that would be that's a different, that's a whole different ball game. Once you start off,
that's like cockfighting.
So yeah, that would make it highly illegal. There's no gambling.
It's called Wishing Well. Shave Ice.
Oh, nice. Ooh. Yeah, I did see that place. That dog in him, guys. 0% chance or 0% shocked. Ted D need a dog for 3 weeks despite being at sporting events. Hell, if you said he didn't eat one till next summer, I won't be surprised. This just isn't unusual. Ted admittedly loves sausage, but the guy went a whole summer without eating one like 3 years ago. Y'all talked about it all summer, how you were going to get one, and you never did. Check the tapes. So take a million, Ted. You're not the man for this challenge. Take the million, Ted. You're not the man for this challenge. In fact, Cobb, you too. You're way more likely to invest it well than make it to 1,000 francs between the lips. MCDP, though, that's the man that hustles and stays hungry. So eat up, son. Enjoy all those exclusive links you can now afford. Let's stay hungry, fellas. The friendly IT guy, a.k.a. the tiny doctor's concierge.
I mean, he's right. I was at F1 for 2 days. Didn't eat a hot dog. They sell hot dogs at the fights. Didn't eat a hot dog.
I wish there was something in that email I could rebuff, but honestly, dude, I just came in with the fire. I feel like he just barked us all down individually. I'm like, yeah, he's right. Like, I'm better off with the million. Ted's definitely better off with the million. God soft. And Matt does have that damn dog in him, dude. And despite eating hot dogs, like, Matt would live forever, too. Like, he'd live to, like, 98 and be like, yeah, I got 18 million. God, I didn't take that million.
In the past month, I've been to an MMA live sport event, an F1 race for 2 days, a Maryland game in person, a Hussy game in person, oh, and a Mariners game. Zero hot dogs eaten.
Oh my God. That's wow. Yeah. Matt's our guy, dude. Like, he's right. That question is over. Like, we can't even talk about it.
He's just sitting there talking about how many dogs he could eat and signing up to go to the Indianapolis 500. Like, yes.
Oh, bro. 17 years ago, I used to eat like 5 dogs a day. Really? You want to get back in there?
Matt, I felt like I did a hate crime in Texas. Like, Sunday we get to the races and I'm like, I gotta eat, right? So there's barbecue, hot dogs, everything you can imagine. I got a lamb bowl with rice and pickled vegetables.
Oh, brother, they would have pulled, if someone had seen you, they would have taken that hat right off your head. That cowboy hat's coming back, dude. Repo.
Instantly spilled tzatziki sauce down my black t-shirt, and luckily this table we're sitting at, there's one woman by herself. She goes, I gotcha. And handed me like a quick like Clorox wipe. And I was like, thank you.
I thought you were going to say like some group of cowboys just turned around. One of them with white snakeskin boots was like, you p***. Should have gotten the hot dog. Right.
Or something with beef. Nah, I'm going to stick to lamb. And then I had a Euro that night.
Oh, boy. Sorry. Again,
I gotta say though, that Euro was unbelievable.
Yeah, those like, dude, I don't know why that place brings it so hard, but they, yeah, they do. Episode 424 spoke to me and had to give my 2 cents. Cop topic: what career would you choose if you were 30 broke and had to start all over? Well, I'm 31 years old and I'm a commercial HVAC service technician. I used to do sales in the HVAC field before COVID and was netting 6 figures by my second year. When COVID hit, I was still making my quotas via phone calls and Zoom meetings, but the company cut my pay and forced me into unemployment. I used the additional pandemic assistance benefits program through unemployment to go to trade school and become a technician. It was a slow build, but now I'm a part of a fantastic union with amazing benefits, great hours, great working conditions, 2 pensions, and a 401k. If I could go back to when I was 18, I probably would have chased my dream to become a physical therapist. But now I have a stable job, and in a couple years, I'll be netting about 140 grand a year without a single hour of overtime. Damn, dude, that's awesome. Nice. It's crushing. Tradespeople are the world's next group of millionaires, and the unions keep us safe and make sure we're home to eat dinner and go to our kids' sporting events. and you don't need 100 grand in crippling school debt to make it a reality. Want to get into the trades? Pro tip: find a trade that the average homeowner or building owner can't do themselves. All trades are important and can make for great careers, but consider this: people will fix their own cars, build their own houses, run their own wires, replace their own shingles, etc. I choose HVAC because nobody understands how to work on their own air conditioner. My brother's a lineman because who other than a lineman can restore your power in a storm? And my brother-in-law is an elevator mechanic because most maintenance guys aren't going to touch an elevator or an escalator. True, elevator mechanics, one of the greatest unions of all time, especially in Washington. On a separate note, Matt, if you're interested in electricity, check out Engineering Mindset on YouTube. Very good visuals, and it's narrated by an English guy, so it's fairly entertaining. Cobb, your idea of putting sensors in a 19th hole is rad. The Grand Sierra Reno driving range in Nevada has a driving range that does exactly that, but the hole is about 200 yards away on a plywood floating island, and the reward is a trip to Hawaii. Love you guys. Keep rocking. Your friendly HVAC guy. Dude, that's genius to make it a trip somewhere.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Because then you,
kinda awesome.
Like, especially if you're giving away the prize, like those, like, you know, once every 2 weeks or something, you just like get a great deal with the hotel instead of $5,000. You know, it's like valued at $5,000. It's like costing you $1,200 because you're friends with the manager. I love this.
Plus 200 yards on the fly to land it on an island. Like, that's a tough shot.
Oh, I mean, 100 yards, the odds are about, oh, shoot, I can't remember. I looked into it. I was doing some deep dive on the insurance for that kind of thing. And like, it was about one every 2 weeks with the traffic. But yeah, 200 yards is unfathomable. That's so much harder.
And also HVAC, I mean, the more it gets warmer, the more people in this area are going to need them.
Oh, yeah. Commercial HVAC,
you know,
dude, it's a great, great job. And honestly, the number one thing I would say is, like, if that guy at some point wants to start his own commercial HVAC company with a couple of his friends, it's over, dude. Those guys make, you know, close to $1 million a year.
Yeah, good on them.
Ted, come on down to Tumwater on any given Thursday. There's a run club at the Pints Barn called Pints Pavement Pounders, a.k.a. P3. Their motto is, my drinking club has a running problem. They'll buy you a beer after your first run, and you get to chug it with the other newbies in front of everyone. Party on. Garth.
Yeah, definitely that guy. I have worn my Diplo 5K shirt at least once every weekend. I walked into a bar on Friday, and a new bar, a listener and his friend just opened, called A&J's down on Airport Way. Great cheesesteak, good wings. And I go, yeah, I'm that guy. Runs one 5K in 18 years. Wears the shirt every weekend.
That's awesome.
Oh, I'm wearing it Friday with my medal. And a loaf of bread and my running shorts, and I'm just going to be the breadwinner.
That's actually pretty awesome.
All right. Oh, God damn it. Yeah, I turned into that guy. All right, let's check in with what's maddening.
Hey, what's good? What's mad?
Whoa. Before we get to what's maddening.
Hey, what's good? What's mad?
Whoa. Check out what's maddening.
Hey, what's good? What's maddening?
Before we get to what's maddening.
Hey, what's good? What's maddening?
Whoa. Check out with what's maddening.
Yeah, it was a pretty laid back weekend. Tyler was busy, and I just kind of wanted to lay around and chill. But on Sunday, I think we walked to dinner Saturday night, but on Sunday, we decided to walk to Keedy's, as we do.
Nice.
You both are familiar. And so we go down there, and we get to El Paseo, and we can kind of see that El Paseo is, like, extra popping. And I'm like, I think it's closed off. And we get there, and there's a fucking golf cart parade going right down the main street here in Palm Desert. Which,
nice.
I mean, they had all these tricked out, decorated golf carts, you know, dressed up as like V-dub bugs or whatever, like just all these different ones with surfboards on them and stuff, and little mini floats on a couple of the bigger ones. And then like the drum lines, the dance teams, the cheerleaders of all the, you know, local schools and stuff. Like, it was a full on parade with golf carts as the floats.
That's what's up. That's awesome.
That's awesome.
Just like, we're just trying to go to Keedy's, but the the golf cart parade was coming the other way. Like, it was coming at us as we were walking down towards Keedy's on the sidewalk, which was very crowded with, you know, parade spectators and bystanders. But it was just a vibe, dude. Like, and it was middle of the day walking at this time of year. You know, it's a little warm. It's doable, but it's a little warm. So I'm like, no problem. I just won't wear a shirt. I'll bring my tank top. I'll tuck it into my shorts, and I'll put it on when I get to Keedy's. And I was just like kind of committed to that plan. And then next thing you know, just like walking down this parade street shirtless. No one else was shirtless. I'm like, guys, it's like 80 degrees out here. Lighten up. It's fine.
Well, also, you live on the other side of that street. So, like, at some point, you have to be in the parade, right?
Yeah. Yeah. We crossed on like a little gap because it was just on the one side. And then the other side of the street, you know, it's like two lanes going each way. And they're all on the right side, the direction we're going. So, once there was like a little break, we just hopped over to the left side of the street. And there's like all these vendors and booths and, you know, little games that you can play and stuff. So, I mean, it was like a full-on thing. I'd seen an article about it last year around this time on the front page of the newspaper, and I was like, that's odd, because last year was like riling up for the election, you know. It was like a crazy time of year in the news cycle, and our local paper just had a big, like, front page full picture of, like, golf cart parade on El Paseo this weekend. And I was like, I love the desert, dude. This is awesome, but... I'd that never been. Awesome. It was so cool, so unique to the desert. Slowed us down. We got to Keedy's a little bit late, but there's no one there. They know us. They took care of us. You know, we were finishing up with the check right at their official closing time. So we weren't like overstaying, but we were the last two that came in and ordered.
What time do they close?
2.
All right.
Yeah, and we got in there at like 1:30. We would have gotten there at like 1:20, but the parade slowed us down, and you know, just the crowd. But also, we're kind of stopping a little bit more and moving slower to take it all in. And it was well worth it. It was a ton of fun. and then, yeah. Other than that, it was the bye week, so you know, it's like, and then this next weekend. There's the Hawks are playing Sunday night, so we have plans for Sunday. I can talk about that next week. But, you know, you got to make the most of these weekends when the Hawks aren't playing in the middle of the day on Sunday and just going to eat up that weekend for you. So, yeah, shout out to the El Paseo Golf Cart Parade. That was a very fun surprise on my walk to Keedy's.
Yeah, dude, I'm with you. But Sunday was the first Sunday in a while. I was just at my own house. I'm like, get a lock into the red zone. And then every game was a goddamn blowout.
Yeah.
Like, I just blatantly watched the F1 race at like 1:00. I was like, screw it. I'm switching sports.
Yeah. There's a couple times where I'd like tuned into the split screen and was like, dude, I don't even care about any of this. And they weren't even with the bad teams playing the bad teams, none of them were actually good games. I love watching a shit show between 2 1-5 teams that can't figure it out, but it's a close game and there's some excitement in it. Like, there's just no entertainment value on that slate of games.
Yeah, I read something the other day and somebody just broke down all the scores and they're like, you're not losing your mind. This was the worst weekend of NFL football in like 10 years.
Wow. Yeah, that tracks.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life.
Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
In 2013, two brutal murders left the city of Davis, California, paralyzed in fear.
The victims were an elderly couple. It was up close and personal.
I'm 48 Hours correspondent Erin Moriarty. I thought I had seen it all until I encountered the mastermind behind those murders.
I think the word is psychotic.
This is 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders. Follow and listen to 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right. Well, I guess it's about that time.
Doop, 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 doop. Cobb topic.
Cobb topic.
Today I get in my car. Tire pressure sensors going off. Okay. No big deal. I can throw some air in the tires. Heading up to like a little co-working space I use, pull off to the side. And I usually pull off to the same service station all the time because it's like a local independent one that I like. But you can only get there if you're coming the other way, if you're coming back towards my house. So usually I'll take a right into their parking lot. Couldn't do it. So I'm heading north instead of south. So I took a right into 7-Eleven parking lot. Go to grab air. You got to use a credit card now. No coins. So you got to run your credit card to get air in your tires. Not that big of a deal, but at my place, my local place, it's free. You grab as much air as you want. It's just a compressor sitting there. You know, it doesn't cost them anything. So this should be free service that annoys you when it costs money or that always costs money. So basically, like, what's something that you think should be free in general? Feel free to email us, email@thepodcast.com with two E's. This should be free kind of service. For me, air in the tires. Man. Boys?
It's a tough one. I do firmly believe, and it's one of my pillars of my campaign, that on July 4th...
Culmination.
Every national park should be free. I don't know, even just not just for July 4th, maybe that whole week. Like, get out and enjoy the parks. I get you got to have discovery passes to keep up the trails and stuff, but... I just feel like on 4th of July, you shouldn't have to pay to go take a hike or go hang out in a park.
Bro, I'll do you one more. I think all national parks should be free all the time. They're already taxpayer funded. Like,
yeah,
we should just fund whatever difference they need to be available. I don't want another fellow American to be denied going to an amazing park because they don't have the $12 for parking or whatever it is. Like, to be clear, I'm not saying make cuts to trail maintenance, whatever, but like, that is a rounding error on some of our massive budget items. I don't want to get specific.
And sometimes I just forget, right? Like, we were up at Lake 22, and then, like, everybody's like, you don't have a parking pass. I was like, oh, shit. All right, we'll go down to the ranger station and get one.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and, like, some of that's for them to monitor or whatever, but I will say that I forgot there's a government shutdown right now. If you live in southern Utah, you can just drive into the parks. I did that during the pandemic at Zion, which is... you know, one of the most trafficked parks in the country. And it was amazing. We had the whole park to ourselves. They had the gates open because it's a shutdown and people still need to be able to use that road. So, you know, we weren't like going on the trails and stuff. We stayed on the road. We just like, you know, got out of our car for 10 minutes and enjoyed it. But it's amazing. Highly recommend.
Matt?
In Europe, they have bathrooms that you have to pay for. Like public bathrooms. And at first, like the first one I went into, it was like nice. It was clean. And I was like, you know, this isn't a bad system because there's a lot of places like New York. It's so hard to find a bathroom when I'm like walking around there. And there's other places. That's why I love Vegas so much. There's just unlimited casino bathrooms like every 100 yards. So you just,
that's why I love Vegas.
All the soda water you want. That was another one of the things about the Paris casino that I liked better than actual Paris. I was like, look at all these bathrooms.
That was, dude. All right. If Ted getting into the scrapyard is his worst, 45 is his worst take, I think that might have been your worst take of the year. the Paris in Vegas is better than the Paris in France. Wow. I respect the confidence. I'll say that.
Hey, they both have a Keller restaurant.
It's
they both have an Eiffel Tower.
Yeah. But then other ones I went to, like, they were really dirty, and it was like, dude, what are you doing charging me for this kind of bathroom? Like, I didn't mind that first one, and they were kind of hit or miss, just like our public bathrooms, but they were consistently charged. Sometimes you'd find free ones, but consistently charging for the bathroom and not having it resemble a nice. Now, even the ones you had to pay for, the nice ones you had to pay for, were not as nice as the bathrooms in the Paris and Las Vegas. I should make that clear here, just to make my take a little more palatable for Cobb down there. But I was kind of taken aback after the whole experience of, like, man, I agree we have places in America that need more bathrooms that are just public, so you don't have to go into a place and pretend to be a customer, or actually be a customer just to get the code. But yeah, charging for it seemed like a good idea, and then it seemed like a total ripoff shortly thereafter. And I just think bathrooms should be free. Some of them will be kept up better than others. Some of them will be nightmares, but when you gotta go, you don't care. Some of the best pees of my life have been into just like a stinky, like, aluminum urinal in some public beach bathroom or whatever, where it's just like, oh, bro, what has gone in here on in here in the last 2 weeks? But you know, when you gotta go, you gotta go. And I think bathrooms should be free.
I would also throw in, I think after 10 o'clock, if you're a bar, like, soda waters and soda should be free, because either that's a DD or somebody that's recognized they've had too much to drink.
How did I miss soda waters? Holy shit. Yeah, that's a great one, Ted.
There's no protocol. Go ahead, Matt.
When places give me the soda water and don't charge me, I check the bill. I just throw an extra $4 on the tip.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, because I know places will charge $3.50 or $3.99 for a soda water sometimes. And if you get enough refills, it's fine. But like, when a place doesn't, I know, like, hey, we're putting that money right back in this waiter's pocket. Like, that's what they deserve.
And I'll be back.
Yeah. Exactly.
All right. We went on the long. We got to wrap this up. I would also say, like, trust me, it has been an awesome last month, but I'm very excited to sit in my own house this weekend and watch some college ball. It's time to quell the levels and just watch ball.
Shut down the engines, recharge the batteries, restore the tea. Let me get some pull-ups in.
All right. From CTP for Cobb, I'm the Ted Smith. This is the podcast. Cheers.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
In 2013, two brutal murders left the city of Davis, California, paralyzed in fear.
The victims were an elderly couple. It was up close and personal.
I'm 48 Hours correspondent Erin Moriarty. I thought I had seen it all until I encountered the mastermind behind those murders.
I think the word is psychotic.
This is 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders. Follow and listen to 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.